This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are Facebook goes on defense. Men in Black, the new international preview is available online. FBI has delivered, their own kind of Christmas present. And we've got the test results of the annual Smart Speaker IQ test. All that and more. I want to welcome you to episode 1336 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, December 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. And for those of you watching live, yes, I'm cleaning my spectacles. If you're joining us live, make sure you say hello in the chat room. Got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of stuff in the show. But if you're brand new to the show, you know, the key thing to do immediately is go over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Get subscribed to the show, and that's real easy to do via Apple Podcast, on Android, via email, on Google, on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or just using the standard old podcast RSS feed. And you can get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode here. We want you to be part of the Ohana. If you want to take time and get signed up for the newsletter, that's a great thing to do as well, because I deliver all of the show notes, all the links to all the articles I'm going to talk about tonight. Immediately following the show, it goes out to the email to all the subscribers. That way you don't have to come to the website, but you can always do that. You can come straight over to the website and grab the links for stuff that interests you. Of course, you can watch the show on Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and of course on Mixer. You can join us at live.geeknewscentral.com or on Facebook. That's the two places I'm monitoring the chat room to the best of my ability. So I want to say hello, Mike. And oh, my mom's watching tonight too. Hey, Mom, welcome to the show. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or send me an email if you want to be part of our Slack channel, be part of the family over there. You can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook as well. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. GoDaddy's been with us since June of 2005. And we've had a heck of a run, and we want you to take advantage of all the great deals that are available through my promo codes that you can find at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be 30% off new product purchases, getting a .com for 99 cents, a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans, or get a $2.49 a month economy hosting or $2.49 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. So again, get great way to get started, get online. It's just, you know, it's nothing. You know, if you think about it, $30, you're all in for a year. And most of you will spend more than $30 on Starbucks in this coming month or whatever your device may be. Maybe you're going to pick up a couple of six packs or whatever it may be. You know, this is the place to go to actually get online, get set up, start your own blog, start your own podcast, start a family remembrance site. You name it, you can do it. And there's literally millions of domains that are out there that are available. Some new ones have come on recently that I've been able to score, some new top level domains I'm pretty excited about, because you know I'm a purveyor of domain names. And I think I'm up to 267. I do need to sell a couple. I've got lots of podcast ready type of domains, too many. and I just continue to buy them up. But it's okay. You can do the same. You can find a domain name that matches your business or something that you're trying to do or some idea that you've, you know, you're in the shower, you're thinking about something, I need a domain name for that. Go over to GoDaddy and pick one of those up. And of course, use my promo codes. The first place to stop is geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Being that this is going to be my last episode for the year, I do want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the sponsor throughout the year. It's been, you know, it's what keeps the lights on here. It keeps what's the family fed. It keeps insurance, gas in the car, a mortgage paid, all that stuff is possible because of GoDaddy. And this upcoming coverage, we're going to do at CES, integral part of this show's success and future. And of course, we want to thank all of you again that have supported GoDaddy through the year. Now, that said, being that it is going to be my last show of the year, I want to take this time and wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas. If you are or happy holidays or Hanukkah or whatever celebration you celebrate. And if you don't celebrate, well, happy holidays anyway. And enjoy the time with family and friends. It's going to be a kind of a wild, crazy one here based on everything that's been going on. But anyway, I'll be thinking about you. And Kirk will be picking up the show on, he will not do a show on Christmas Eve. Now, that's not cool, right? We're going to take Christmas Eve off. And then, excuse me, am I in the right year? No, I'm not. Okay, so we're going to take Christmas Eve off, which is Monday. Kirk will be with you on the 27th. We're not going to do a show on New Year's Eve. We're going to do one on, Kirk's going to do one on the 3rd of January, because that's the day I actually leave here for Vegas. As you remember, I leave on the 25th to go to Tampa for the birth of my first grandchild. She's still in the oven, so no delivery yet, but they'll be inducing shortly after I get there. And then I come back to Hawaii on the 30th, and I'm home for a few days, get stuff shipped to Vegas, fly out on the 3rd. And then the CES coverage kicks off on Tuesday, January 8th. Now, Kirk will do a show on Monday, January 7th. Those will be really super focused on CES. A lot of content that we're going to be pushing out on the normal Geek News Central stream will be CES related. I want you all to be very aware that I'll be doing updates to the website, and we're going to be having news from the writers that's going to be coming out over CES. Will be starting probably the embargo stuff will start kicking out on the 7th, and we'll have some information on how the live content's going to go. We're going to start right now, every day at CES, we're going to start at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and we're going to go until 3 p.m. Pacific time live streaming. 5 hours is right now the schedule every day. We're not doing 10 like we used to. I'm not killing myself. There's only a couple of us that are going to be in rotation doing live, maybe three. So that's kind of what we're going to do. But it'll be hot and furious while we are online. So just be aware of that. Now, so CS packing is at 80% because my house, check this out. When we talk Monday, I don't even remember what the status of the house was Monday. They were, anyway, the contractor was here, tore the floor out, reinstalled the floor. I finished the bathroom with the, getting the toilet in, trim in, vanity in, faucets mounted. The only thing is the vanity's not hooked up to the water because we have to finish doing the splash. I was so exhausted last night, I passed out at 8. But this morning I woke up fully expecting the contracting company to be here to bring my furniture back. And my house is empty. They're not coming to tomorrow at noon and didn't tell me. So I was a little irritated because I had 3 or 4 hours of downtime today and I'm just looking and I'm thinking, I'm trying to reach the guy. Where are you at? Where are you at? No response. My blood pressure is going up. I could have painted. So tonight after the show, I might be painting my living room. There's a 5-gallon bucket of paint in the garage. We got to find the rollers because all the furniture's in the garage, all boxed up. And anyway, so yeah, it maybe I'm painting tonight. I don't know. But, you know, everything's clear. There's nothing in the living room, right? Except for a new floor. And so you guys saw the pictures if you're on Facebook. So that's going on. Chris had an issue on Monday. He'd gotten hurt playing volleyball. Took him to the doctor on Tuesday because it was paining him more. Turns out he's got a buckle fracture. And they put him in a splint, got an appointment to go to ortho, went to ortho today with him. They put him in a cast. So he's in the cast for 4 to 6 weeks. Not only that, this gets better. My car started leaking oil again. So I knew about that on Sunday, Monday. So I made an appointment, got it into Mazda on Tuesday. Within like an hour, they call me, hey, it's around your oil pump. I'm like, how come the other company couldn't figure this out? We don't know. It was easy to find. We don't have an oil pump on the island. We're going to have to order out. It'll be in after Christmas. We need $545, of course. So anyway, the car oil leak will finally truly be solved. So that saga continues, but I won't be here to take it. Yeah, it's just insanity. And yay. I'm, you know, planning for CES and all this stuff. It's going to be, I'm going to get to Vegas and I'm going to be like, did I bring my toothbrush? And we got family showing up on Christmas Day. It's crazy. So anyway, welcome to my world right now. And yes, doing a show for you. So I think I've got you caught up on the insanity, but I am excited to get everything wrapped up. We should have the Christmas tree up tomorrow night. We should have everything be ready for Christmas. We didn't buy a real one. We're just going to put the fake one up because it's only going to be up for 3 or 4 days. Because the day after Christmas trees come down in Japanese homes. And then, so anyway, I'm getting a message here. My wife is at Sam's. And she's sending me, our living room color is Swiss coffee, which is top left. Okay. White. Okay. So, anyway, I guess she's not at Sam's. I think she's at Home Depot now. So yeah, messaging me, and we're the only two in the house. My son's at Chris is at a dance. He's got a hot date tonight. So yeah, it's all good. We're one big family Ohana here. Okay. Okay. Oh my God. Okay. So, she's asking me questions and she doesn't know I started my show early because I know we're going to paint. Let's move into the next stuff. If you're brand new, it usually isn't this chaotic, but thanks for checking the show out. All right, everyone, Mike and Mike, welcome to the show. And anyone else that's watching live, make sure you say hello. Okay, so Facebook, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. They've had a good year. They've had a good news year for us. They posted a facts about Facebook messaging partnerships. And they start off by saying, in the past day, we've been accused of disclosing people's private messages to partners without their knowledge. They say, that's not true. and we want to provide more facts about our messaging partnerships. We work closely with four partners to integrate messaging capabilities in the product so people could message their Facebook friends, but only if they chose to use Facebook login. These experiences are common in our industry. Think of it being able to have your Alexa read your email aloud or read your email on Apple's Mail app. I don't allow Alexa to read my email. No, I do not. They go on to say people could message their friends about what they were listening to on Spotify or watching on Netflix or share folders on Dropbox or get receipts for money transfers through a bank. These experiences were publicly discussed and they were clear to users only available when people logged in these services with Facebook. However, they were experimental and had now been shut down for nearly 3 years. So they go on to say, why didn't message partners have read, write, delete message access? I say, well, just like if you allow Alexa to, if you allow her to read your email, she has to have read, write, delete access. Well, it's a good analogy here, but this just goes, if this has been shut down for 3 years, obviously they figured out this wasn't such a good idea and closed it out. They say that those partnerships were agreed via extensive negotiations and documentation detailing how third party was used the API and what data they could and couldn't access. But if they could read, write, and delete, they could definitely read those private messages. So there's no denying that. The true question that needs to be answered is, what did those partners do with that data that they read? Did people fully realize that this was what's going on? So I think we've starting to see a bigger pattern here. And, you know, I know a lot of people say don't use Gmail because Google's reading your emails. Probably true. It's probably true. So at this point, with as much stuff as we're learning, I think we're all starting to make some decisions on how much stuff do we want to go into these platforms that tell our daily lives, our daily history, and what we're doing and who we're talking to and who we're interacting with. How deep do we want this to go? And what point do we start drawing it back in running SMTP servers, running email servers on our own machines and our own dedicated boxes? When do we start rolling some of this back and stop some of this? Yeah, it's fun. It's easy. It's a quick way to tell someone something. But have we given these folks enough? What are they giving us? Really, this, they're giving us an interactive, right? An interactive, it's like, you know, addictive type of situation where they allow us to see. I don't even see my mom's comments in my newsfeed. I have to go to her profile to see what she's posted on Facebook. They don't let our friends and family members truly interact anymore. I don't see what's going on with my cousins. I don't see what's going on with my aunt and uncles. I don't see what's going on with, you know, most of my friends. You know, Mike Dell's in the chat room right now. If he posts something on Facebook, I have to go to his page and look and see what he's had to say. And Mike and I, even, you know, we talk daily on the telephone, we interact on Slack, you know, and we follow each other. Mike's, you know, watching the show right now. So do we, you know, how come I don't see Mike's stuff in my newsfeed? It's a good question, right? Is Facebook's days numbered? That is a question we have to answer and something we all have to consider moving forward. Have we all given them enough? Or are we all just going to be gluttons for punishment? For me, it's a necessary evil. This is where I do business. You know, I have a huge, I follow multiple groups. I have to. If I'm not in there, they're going to be, where am I at? Where's Todd? How come he's not in here answering our question? you know, but it's, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are disconnecting from Facebook. They definitely cannot be trusted at this point. We just have to remember that. Have a backup of your pictures. You know, don't put stuff on there that you want Indigo never to be seen again. You know, this is why it's important to have your own .com. From a prosperity standpoint, if you want stuff to be public, you put it there. You put it on your website. Okay? That way, at least, you can extract the database later. You know, if you shut the website down and you still have this information. I don't know. I'm just, I'm a little torn at this point about what's going on with Facebook. Because I'm really damned if I do, damned if I don't type of situation. And I think a lot of people are the same way. Hey, Richard, thanks for joining the show as well. Okay, hey, the first Men in Black International trailer is online. And I will say this. I watched the trailer and it's kind of predictable. It's got a little bit of a spin, but here's my bet. It's going to do great after it gets out of the box office. I don't think it's going to do good at the movie theaters. I really don't think it's been so long. I don't think it's got staying power to have a good movie theater run. Time will tell. But anyway, the first trailer's up. You can check it out. Hey, the FBI shut down 15 denial of service for hire sites. So they also charge 3 operators. So this is good. So they seize 15 domains or 15 denial of service for hire services, including relatively well-known examples like Down Them, Quantum Stressor. It simultaneously charged 3 people, Matthew Gartrell, Juan Martinez, that for allegedly conspiring to violate the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act for running Down Them and AmpNode, while David Bukowski has been accused of aiding and abetting computer intrusion for running Quantum Stressor. The sites were some of the largest available. The Justice Department noted that Quantum Stressor had over 80,000 subscriptions at the end of November and had been used for 50,000 actual or attempted attacks around the world. So the question really here is, do they think that, especially if they live in the United States, that they're actually going to get away with this? Now, they don't say where these people live. I'm assuming they live here in the United States. If not, they, you know, they're facing charges or extradition in their countries. They don't go into that full detail on where those 3 people operate out of. But this is ongoing to shut these types of sites down. Merry Christmas. All right, the annual smart speaker IQ test has been undertaken. And this was done by Lope Ventures. And they tested 4 smart speakers, Amazon's device, Siri, Google Assistant, and Cortana. They were asked 800 questions each, with the Google device able to answer 88% of them correctly, Siri at 75%, Amazon's device at 73%, and Microsoft's at 63%. Last year, the Google device was able to answer 81% correctly versus Siri at 52%. So again, those numbers are 87.9 for Google's device, 74.6 for Siri, which drives me insane. I think I have the most trouble with Siri. And of course, the Amazon device is 72.5 and Cortana at 63.4. Now, here's the...
I can't help with that right now.
Oh, thank you for responding when I wasn't calling you. So the Google device understood the query 100% of the time. Siri 99.6, the Amazon device 99, and Cortana 99.4. Of those that they answered correctly, So interesting move here. And they asked like questions like, where's the nearest coffee shop? Can you order me milk or paper towels? How do I get to Uptown on the bus? Who do the Twins play tonight? Or commands like, remind me to call Steve at 2 p.m. today. Those types of questions and answers. So pretty good write up on the report. And they've even got the, I guess they used the HomePod to do the Siri test. So nice write-up on this, on how this all went down. And I'm actually kind of surprised that Google was as high as it was. But that's how it turned out, at least in this test. Hey, big news out of Mars. NASA's InSight Mars Quake Detector has been deployed. And a beautiful picture from the arm, and then putting the little clamshell looks a little weird. I don't understand how this whole arm clamp works. It's just a little bizarre to me on how that was actually clamped on, and it just looks like it's attached via a kind of like a, it's weird. It's just weird how it shows, it just dangles there. So I guess that's by design. But again, they put the seismometer on the surface of Mars, ready to listen for Mars quakes. So moving along with the with InSight on Mars. Big news out of the UK. Gatwick Airport has been shut down since Wednesday night as drones have been repeatedly flying over the airfield. They say it's not terror-related, but a deliberate act of disruption using industrial specification drones. So about 110,000 passengers on 760 flights were due to fly on Thursday. Didn't happen. They've called in the military. They've called in all types of police resources. Whoever's doing this, if they get caught. But the drones, they haven't been able to basically catch whoever's doing this yet. And because it takes off from one position and then it basically lands in another. They're having a very difficult time tracking down who did this. But the shutdown started at 9 p.m. on Wednesday when two drones were spotted flying over the perimeter fence and into where the runway operates from. The runway briefly reopened at 3 a.m., but closed again about 45 minutes later amid a further sighting of drones. The airport said at 12 a.m. a drone had been spotted in the last hour. So this type of stuff happens more. The FAA and the equivalent in the UK is going to shut down this hobby. And but if this person gets caught, stand by. He's going to go to jail. And, but anyway, and a drone probably would not hurt an airplane, but if it got ingested, probably engine failure from that. But I don't think a drone could cause an aircraft, a commercial aircraft to crash, to be honest with you. It'd be like ingesting a bird or something, you know, to that effect, or a big bird, a duck. And, you know, those motors can ingest, although it'll be messy. So, big news there out of the UK in this drone situation. All right. This Christmas holiday, you're going to be getting some internet connected devices. And I'm going to advise all of you, and this is a good article from Lifehacker that's talking about this, is that you should do some research on these internet connected devices. You should be doing some looks at this, because you need to make sure there's no security issues out. You need to make sure that the operating systems have been upgraded if they allow you to. There's going to be a lot of people getting devices that are connected to the internet. that have cameras in them, recording devices. We all know that, you know, recently that there was a bug in a kid's toy that was taking pictures and collecting, you know, some Fisher-Price had a toy that was, it was cute for a new baby, but before the company fixed a breach, it allowed hackers to steal children's names, birth dates, genders, along with other data, possibly pictures. So just be careful with these internet connected device toys. And there's a great database that's linked in this article. It's a database that basically talks about trouble in Toyland. And it talks about all the different devices that people have concerns about, or if there are concerns about. And don't let your kids put their birth dates in and all this stuff, all right? Pick a phony address, pick a unique password, put a bogus birthday in, put a wrong name, you know, don't put in, just be careful what you're doing with this stuff, okay? Please, 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 as you get these internet-connected toys starting on Christmas Day. Big change at the Apple App Store. A rule change may soon let you gift in-app purchases. So this is interesting. So giving friends and family an iOS app subscription or some extra Pokeballs might soon become a lot easier. This store rule change allows iOS developers to allow users to give others items that are eligible for in-app purchases, according to Mac Rumors. The App Store would previously only allow gifting of paid apps to others, while gifting of in-app purchases directly or indirectly were not permitted. So we'll see if that changes, and we'll see what ramifications of that are as we move into the future. Also, the folks at Lifehacker got another good one, the best holiday websites and apps. So if you want to do things like getting your holiday lighting fixed, they've got a playlist of YouTube videos. If you don't have any snow, you can launch a virtual snowstorm that'll basically show on your television. They've got some VR Christmas trees and settings, all that kind of stuff. So some cool little things to be able to find places to get Christmas music, recipes for a different type of punch and that type of stuff. So all those kinds of things maybe you're thinking about if you're having a party. So anyway, these are some cool things. But, you know, what do we do? I did Christmas Day. I turn on some music and get some Christmas stuff going in the house. And, you know, the TV usually has something reflecting, the day before Santa Claus's track and, you know, on from that's online, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. If my house is put back together. But anyway, the link will be up to this in the show notes. If you're buying an iPad, 2018 iPad Pro, check the iPad immediately when you open it. If it's been bought and it's been wrapped and it's, you know, more than 14 days since it's been purchased, you may be out of luck. But some of them have a slight bend to them. It's a manufacturing defect that Apple's not calling a defect. They won't allow you to exchange it if it's beyond 14 days. Okay, so look at the edge. Make sure that it's straight. If it's curved at all and it's within 14 days, take it back. Take it back in return period and get a new one. Okay? You don't have to have an excuse to take them back and take it back immediately. But look at your iPad Pro and see if it has a curve. Because there's been a lot of reports of them coming that way. And that's not right. You're spending this big money. And it's got an unnatural bend, which, quote unquote, isn't going to hurt the device. And Apple says the device is going to work fine, but something happened during manufacture here. I don't know how this got beyond their QA. They're getting a little sloppy here. Hey, a couple of things that have popped up here. Of course, politics hot and heavy with the budget or some budget issues still remaining, and the president holding out for funding the wall. And, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But there's a GoFundMe that's a border wall campaign for raising. They're trying to raise some like billions of dollars. And there's a rival GoFundMe that is raising money for ladders. Yes, ladders. So let me just, it's gotten insane. So We the People Will Fund the Wall has raised, now let me refresh the page here. They're up to $10,520,000 with a $1 billion goal on GoFundMe. Now, remember, on GoFundMe, which is kind of cool about GoFundMe, is you don't have to hit the goal to get the money. So I hope this guy has thought about the tax ramifications of this. I'm, you know, if he's not a, you know, this may, this could turn interesting. This, you know, a $10 million that he's raised so far. You know, if the government will take the money, you know, was it under his personal name? How, you know, this could have some tax ramifications. I don't know if it's a 501c or anything like that. No, it's like some dude in some apartment in Castle Rock, Colorado. So they're going to give 100% donation is going to go to the Trump wall. And this guy's a vet that's doing this. Now, the other GoFundMe is Ladders to Get Over Trump's Walls. It has raised $50,000 of $100 million goal in the last 22 hours. So 2,253 have contributed to Ladders to Go Over Trump's Walls, where 172,000 have contributed $10 million. Now, the question is, someone that's watching the show online, do the math for me. For $1 billion, if he's trying to raise $1 billion, and let's say everyone gave, I say 10, 20, 20, 20, 10. Let's say everyone gave $50. Someone quickly do the math for me. How many people given $50 does it take to raise $1 billion? It's a lot. I think it's more people than we have in the country. But someone's going to do the math for me here. Maybe not. 20. Yeah, maybe not. It's not actually, if you think about it, it's not that bad. But yeah, someone do the quick math for me and put it in the comments. If my grandpa was alive, he'd be slapping me in the back of the head. He's like, Todd, not. He'd be like, you should be able to do this in your head, dude. Well, I'm also trying to do a podcast live. All right. Firefox focuses for Android ads improved do not track tools. Okay. So Firefox focus for Android. And it adds improved do not track tools. Okay, excuse me. So Mozilla rolled out an update to the iOS and Android versions of Firefox Focus. The Android now has enhanced tracking protection. The feature allows users to select which sites they want to share with their data, among other security measures. Meanwhile, the OIS version of the browser now supports search suggestions. You know, one thing that Firefox changed recently, we used to be able to look at the Firefox, use Firefox to look at RSS feeds, and we could real quickly see them in a format that was readable. They've changed all that and took that away. So, here on the Facebook, people, or Greg is saying, I will say I was taken aback recently when I signed out of my Messenger and found Google was placing programmatic ads on websites I visited based on specific words I used. I was typing in private message, kind of creepy. Mike says, not just the toys, the whole video doorbell thing that's exploding, this huge potential for things going wrong if attention is not paid. Oh, so Mike says we need 2 million people at $50. Oh, that'll work. Is that right? 50 people times 2 million is $1 billion. Wow. We need to figure out how to get 2 million people to listen to this show. Right? All right, cool. All right, moving on here. Apple has sending out the report on more government requests for user data. So the government Apple received 32,342 device requests, with 42% of them coming from Germany. Apple noted the high volume of device requests in Germany was predominantly due to stolen device investigations. The U.S. had the second highest number of 4,500 in July to December. Apple received 29,000 requests at 4,570. In the July to 2017 period, Apple received 29,718 requests. So, wow. Government's looking for information on some people, aren't they? All right, AT&T 5G goes live this week. Matter of fact, I've got a whole bunch of press releases from AT&T. I've got the press releases from the manufacturer of this hotspot from Netgear. This thing's crazy. This 5G hotspot is insanely priced. $499. I think the last hotspot I bought cost like $100, maybe $100. But this is the first 5G mobile hotspot. Of course, there's no phones that support 5G. So they're coming out with this mobile hotspot to support it. So for those of you in Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Louisville, Oklahoma City, and New Orleans, Raleigh, North Carolina, San Antonio, and Waco, Texas, are going to be able to get basically you'll have 5G. Now, here's the problem with this 5G. It's so fast, you're going to burn the data quickly. A 5G data plan, which runs 15 gigs of data at $70. 15 gigs at $70 with a 5G at the speed it's supposed to deliver it at? Come on. Come on. It's just such a crock. In the first half of 2019, AT&T says parts of these cities will get 5G. Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Nashville, Orlando, San Diego, San Francisco, and San Jose. So I could see where some people could use 5G, but the cost of the data, come on. It's crazy. When are we going to have data commodity in mobile that is just like wired? All right, Microsoft has issued emergency update for Internet Explorer. Yes, officially Internet Explorer is dead. Microsoft has discontinued the browser as of IE 11 and replaced it with Edge, which sucks. IE is, however, still maintained alongside the operating systems that it ran on, Windows 7 and Windows 8. And they issued an emergency security update for the browser to fix a flaw. It says it already was under active exploitation though details on exactly how it's being exploited have not been provided. So look for that update for those of you that are on Windows 7 and Windows 8. Uber self-driving cars are returning to public roads after a fatal crash last year. Again, after a 9-month hiatus, Uber says its autonomous vehicles are now safer and ready to go. So those of you that are living in Pittsburgh, be aware these autonomous vehicles have been on the street since today. So be on the lookout for them as they're driving around and don't get close to the curb with these things on the street. All right. So again, this is where they will be driving, and they're going to have 300 autonomous vehicles. And that's a large number of cars on the street. So anyway, be aware of that forthcoming. Again, it started today in Pittsburgh. Hey, Google Photos has doubled its live albums limit to 20,000 images. So maybe it's time to think about some more cat pictures. And so anyway, they're doubling down on the images you can store, and it's auto-populating live albums to 20,000. And I believe that's free. And I think you can pay for more, but we all love to take pictures, right? All right, Bitcoin. A lot of stuff going on with Bitcoin And there's a good article about it from Engadget talking about 2018's terrible fall of crypto and where it's, you know, came from nearly $20,000 down to what, $3,000 or something right now for Bitcoin. So what do you guys think? You know, is it time to buy Bitcoin now? Or should you wait a little longer? Is it going to start rallying? With the stock market tanking and people, if you didn't get out and you're in cash, you know, you're definitely in the hurt locker. Of course, the Fed's raised the interest rate again, so that didn't help. But I have a feeling the stock market's going to come back strong. We'll see. But what do you think about the cryptocurrency crash? Is it going to go down or is it stabilized? Do you think it's going to go upwards? You know, again, I'm not a crypto expert at all. I do have some Bitcoin, but I haven't bought any in a while. Matter of fact, I bought a little bit for some other stuff early in the year, last year, I think I bought some Bitcoin. So that took a hit, but I didn't buy a lot, a couple hundred dollars worth. Where do you guys think Bitcoin's going? You think it's going to go back up? Oh, Mike, you made a correction. 20 million people. Yes. 20 million people at $50 gets us $1 billion. I think he's going to have a challenge getting 20 million people to cough up $50 each. We'll see. Slack is banning some users with links to Iran, even if they've left the country. Of course, with trade restrictions in place, export control and economic sanctions, that basically has been promulgated by the U.S. Department of Commerce and U.S. Department of Treasury, Slack is prohibiting unauthorized use of its products and services in certain countries that includes Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Syria, and Crimea region of the Ukraine. And what they did is they went and looked at IP mapping, and if there was a Slack channel owner have an originating IP from one of those countries, they killed their account. And some people say, I'm not in Iran. I'm outside of Iran, but yet they were shut down. So Slack took the hammer today and banned. It was interesting. I wonder how many they banned. And this is the first I've heard of an online service doing this. I wonder if more will to follow. Spotify has settled a $1.6 billion copyright infringement lawsuit. Terms of the deal with Wixen Music Publishing were not disclosed. Do you think I paid 1.6? I doubt it. But I bet you they wrote a pretty big check. Of course, Spotify has been sued multiple times over improper licensing and unpaid royalties. Earlier this year, it settled a class action lawsuit for $112 million in an effort to repair its reputation. So they've done a bunch of stuff on this to try to make it right. So we'll see how much, probably be in a public filing at some point, how much they paid. The United States government has fingered two Chinese men for hacking tech aerospace defense biz on behalf of Beijing. The two men linked to Chinese government stand accused of hacking cloud giants, aerospace and defense companies, chip designers, U.S. government agencies, including the Navy and other organizations globally. So the two citizens, Zhu Ho and Zhang Shilong, whose aliases are said to be, I don't even want to pronounce that. So I guess they better not travel any place where the U.S. has any reach because they're going to get rolled up. But apparently these two folks have been linked to and have been charged with conspiracy to commit computer intrusion, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and aggravated identity theft. Whoa, that's a big one. Are you surprised? I think not. Swarm is going to pay $900,000 for the unauthorized satellite launch in a settlement reached with the FCC. I don't remember how they actually who did they launch on? But apparently, the FCC denied Swarm a license to launch a set of small satellites called Space Bees, with the commission claiming the satellites were too small to reliably track, but Swarm launched them anyway. And once the FCC got wind, initiated an investigation. The settlement requires Swarm to pay $900,000 penalty and submit to extended FCC oversight over the next 2 years. Little preview here. CES 2019 TV preview. Get ready for the 8K AI rollable OLED with you-know-who. Probably not all on the same TV, but you just don't know. But here's the problem. 8K? The 8K content, just not that much out there. There's not even that much 4K content out there. I'm just going to be heads up. If you're coming to Geek News Central to look for TV announcements, you're only going to find them in blog posts. I don't go to where the TVs are anymore. I'm sticking myself to Sands. I'll be talking with startups, home automation, that type of stuff this year. So you'll have to watch Engadget and Gizmodo and CNET and all the other folks for the TV announcements, for the 8K TV announcements. Over at TechHive, at TechHive.com, they look at a good article about untangling the web of streaming TV voice controls. Talks about what cord cutters can and can't do with the variety of devices like the Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Chromecast, Android TV, etc. So the only thing I use voice commands on reliably is the Fire TV, and I use it to find movies. It works pretty good. I haven't tried the Rokus yet to find a movie, but it's worked pretty good on the Fire TV. Also, if you're looking for some traditional Christmas movies for streaming, never fear. There's some good ones out there. Amazon's got Babies in Thailand, It's a Wonderful Life. Holiday Affair can be rented from Amazon, YouTube, Google Play. A Miracle on 34th Street, again, rental from Amazon, YouTube, Google Play, etc. The Lemon Drop Kid, these are all classic, right? $1.99 rentals from Amazon. Scrooge, he used to play on TV, right? For free. So these are some classics that are available. Link will be up in the show notes. If you're looking to have some traditional Christmas movies and having cut the cord, maybe that's what we'll be doing. All right, here's a couple of deals for you. Last deals before Christmas. A 22-inch TV, $60. Insignia. It's available via Best Buy while supplies last. $60. And again, 22-inch, kind of small, but $60. Also, some recommendations and non-recommendations on Android tablets, what you should and shouldn't buy. So, it goes through those devices and tells you which ones to buy and which ones to stay away from, which I think is smart considering how many devices are out there for Android. All right, that's going to bring me to the end of the show. Quick show, yeah? And again, thanks for being with me this year. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for listening to my trials and tribulations that's going on here right now. It'll be all be good. It's just, you know, it's life. But I want to thank everyone that's been live hanging out with me tonight. And again, I want to wish every one of you, all the Ohana, a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you may be celebrating. Hope you enjoy your time with your families and friends. Be safe over the holidays, okay? If you're going to have a few cocktails, which we most of us do, have some adult beverages, please be safe. And if you need to call an Uber or Lyft, if it's available in your community, grab a cab, whatever it takes to be home safe from the holidays. Same thing goes for the new year. I want to thank you for your ongoing support of GoDaddy. And those of you that have supported this show with your insider donations this year, it is absolutely, I'm thankful for that, for your ongoing $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, and $25 contributions monthly. Really does help. It really, really does. It helps with the some of the base cost of the show here at this point. So again, think about becoming an insider. Give a gift of becoming an insider to Geekness Central for the year. We've had a few individual contributions come in as well for those individuals that have done some one-time contributions. I thank you for those as well that have come in from PayPal. I've seen a couple of $10 ones, one for $20. Those all help. They really do. Just to give you guys an idea, the CES coverage typically, from start to finish, $12,000-$15,000 is what I've gotten the cost down with everything, with shipping, with food, hotels, airfare, post-production. This year will be a little different because we're not doing as much post-production with the interviews. I'll be putting stuff out little by little myself personally. I'm not going to be outsourcing the videos this year. I don't think I have to make a decision on that. Because I have some extra time in hotel rooms over the 5 weeks following CES. But again, we'll see. But anyway, thanks for your support. It's greatly appreciated and helping us keep everything going. Just to keep Geekness Central online on a monthly basis, just the hardware alone is about $350 a month just to keep the website churning away at the speed that it is. And doing what it needs to do. So again, your contribution to the show go a long, long way. But, and again, I had some big announcements this week. We talked about it on the last show. There was a blog post on Geek News Central. So it's been a crazy week. I'm ready for a vacation. I think I'm supposed to actually be on vacation, but I'm not. So all right, everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. See at CES. That's where you'll see me next. January 8th, live. I may not be the first one up. I think Don Bain is scheduled to take the first 10 a.m. live. He forgets that the companies never show up on time on Tuesday, but he volunteered to go first and have to suffer through maybe some dead air time. So Don can talk for 2 or 3 hours. Don't worry, I can too. But we'll have the schedule up on the website and have the live stream up as well. Everyone, thanks for being here. We're going to take care. We'll see you again. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you at CES. Everyone, and don't forget, Kirk will be doing a couple of shows. So stay subscribed. Take care, everyone. Aloha.